Welcome back to episode number 257 of the Dust Safety Science Podcast. This is the podcast for building a global community around process safety and industries handling combustible dust. I'm your show host, Dr. Chris Cloney. In today's episode, we are covering NFPA 660 development and next steps. And we're doing that with Laura Moreno, Standards Lead in Industrial and Chemical Engineering at NFPA. She's based at Quincy, Massachusetts. Laura, welcome back to the Dust Safety Science Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Super excited to have Laura back on to be talking about NFPA 660. We've covered the NFPA 660 development quite a bit on the podcast. This is the standard for combustible dust. I'm going to get Laura to give a bit of a background about, you know, why it's developed. And we're going to be talking about where we're at in the development cycle in this podcast episode. But we've been covering its development over the last couple of years, all the way back to episode 128 and 129 with Jason Kerbeck, talking about upcoming NFPA changes. 4660 and what they mean for combustible dust safety. We had an excellent interview with Alex Ng from NFPA on where NFPA is heading back in episode 147, what that means for combustible dust. We gave an update with Jack Osborne in 175 on NFPA 660 development. And then we had Laura on in October 2022 giving an update on the public input process for NFPA 660. So that brings us all the way back to where we are today on next steps. And hopefully getting to the kind of goal line on 660 development and rollout. So in this episode, we're going to cover Laura's role in the FBA. What is the purpose of 660 and where are things at today as an update to these past episodes? Laura, I know we did this a year and a half ago on the podcast, but for the audience's sake, can you remind us what your role is with NFPA and what you've been doing with 660 development specifically?
Sure. So as the standards lead, I manage the group of staff liaisons that work on all of our industrial and chemical safety standards. And then I also serve as the staff liaison for NFPA 660. So that means I facilitate the standards development process, make sure that the technical committees have what they need to follow all of our NFPA regulations, that we have meetings at the right times, and review all of the input and public comments that come in, and just generally make sure that we follow the ANSI process for developing new standards.
Yeah, it would be safe to say that you've spent a lot of time in NFPA 660 development over the last, say, three years or so.
Yep, it's been my biggest project for sure.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate it. And we're looking forward to seeing what the next steps are as well. A lot of the audience would, you know the purpose of NFPA 660, would be involved in that. But I think it's probably useful just to restate, you know, what was the mission statement when you started tackling this thing so many years ago? You know, what was the purpose of 660 and its development? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so it started way back with the OSHA Advanced Notice of Proposed Rulemaking in 2009. You know, the notice raised some issues with consistency between the NFPA standards, some that potentially could limit how effective they were and how easy to use. And so the Standards Council started looking at all of our dust standards, like 484, 61, 664, 654, and 652, and asked the committees to figure out how to have, I think they worded it as, non-contradictory standards to address combustible dust across all the industries and occupancies. And so one option could have been to combine the documents into one standard, or, you know, see if they could suggest an alternative approach to that. And ultimately, the correlating committee on combustible dust with a task group decided that the best way to do this would be to combine into one standard. So that's where the idea for NFPA 660 was born.
Yeah, and I think the title, at least at nfpa.org/660, which is where you can get the information on the current status of 660, is a standard for combustible dust. Is that, do we know if that's the final title? I'm not sure we did when we recorded last time, but is that moving forward?
The committee did add particulate solids to the title. Yeah. It's still up for vote at the, you know, at the upcoming meetings, but it could potentially be different.
Okay, perfect. I didn't set you up for that question, so I just was curious as I read it on the site there. When we had you on the podcast last time, and lots kind of happened since then, so I'll give a bit of a recap. I think it was October 2022, so that's about a year and a half ago. That was during the public input phase. So first draft came out, there was that public input phase, covered a lot of what that looked like in the last episode. And our team actually went and, I believe in December of 2022, hosted a NFPA public comment workshop. We used the wrong word, but it was about public input on NFPA 660. I just looked back at our notes. We had several hundred people register. I think we had 600 registered interests for that workshop, and then several hundred registered actually to attend, and at least I think 150 or so in the room for those 3 days talking through 660, looking at TerraView, looking at the different standards, shooting videos, a lot of interest in that and getting understanding of how to develop the public input process. So we did that. I believe public input was capped in January 2022. And so let's walk us through what's gone on since kind of January 2022 then with the committees. And then I want to get into, okay, where are we headed today? But let's do a little bit of the history. What's gone on over the last year and a half or so?
Yeah, so having that workshop might have contributed, but we ended up getting over 550 public inputs.
Wow, good.
When they did close in,
I think good. January, I hope that's good.
yeah, there was a lot. There were a lot of good quality public input that the committees received to review, so that was great. And some coming from committee members, some from the general public, general users of the document, even groups like the Chemical Safety Board submitted comments. So that was great. Came in on their chapter or chapters, and they look at every public input and create what we call first revisions. So sort of the first batch of edits to the document. And every public input does get a response, whether it's something like the committee doesn't agree with this change and here's the reason why, providing technical reason, or yes, we do agree with this, either completely or in part, and here's how we're going to incorporate it into the draft of the document. So all five of those committees met, the ones that used to be responsible for the separate committees, 652, 654, 61, 484, and 664. Now they each have the separate chapters of 660 that they're responsible for instead of the separate documents. So after they do that, they review all of their public input, they're balloted on the changes, and then later in 2023, in about August, the correlating committee met. And the correlating committee is a group that oversees all the committees that fall under 660 and the entire NFPA 660 document. They make sure that things are done consistently chapter by chapter. So like one example is making sure that all the committees apply the same terminology consistently, or approaches like the DHAs consistently, or management of change. And they don't write technical requirements. They just send notes back to the committee. So they might say a message to the fundamentals committee. All of the committees have the same requirement in their chapters. Let's make it fundamental. Include that in the first 8 chapters or 9 chapters. Or they might say to the wood dust document, the other committees are approaching flash fires differently. Can you take a look at that and see if you can correlate your chapter? So they send notes back to the technical committees about things that they should take a look at in the second draft stage. And then also during that time, this is when task groups are meeting. So several task groups were formed at the first draft meetings last year, and they've been working independently, having Teams calls. They've been looking at things like additive manufacturing, AMS types and definitions, because they were slightly different in all of the original set of standards. So pulling them all into 660 resulted in a bunch of different definitions, and self-heating and reactivity, including that in 660. Terminology like fibers and flyings, superfines versus fines versus nanopowders, that kind of thing. Those are all being looked at by task groups. So, and then they'll bring their work to the second draft meetings. And then I think in September or early October, that's when the first draft of the standard was posted publicly. So the public had a chance to review all the changes that were made at last year's meetings. And then from then until January, I think January 4th, a few weeks ago, the document was open for public comments, our second round of comments. So again, public committee members, literally anybody except NFPA staff can submit public comments. And, you know, maybe their public input wasn't accepted the first time, they want to take another shot at it, or they didn't like a change that the committee made in the first draft report, they could submit a public comment to have something reverted or to have something explained further. And this time we still got a number of comments. We got a little bit over 300 public comments. And so now all of those are going to be divided out among the committees, depending on what chapter they were submitted on. And then that's what they'll review for their second draft meetings that are coming up.
I'll put a timing note here. So we're recording this at the start of February 2024. Those meetings, the second draft meetings, are coming up in a couple of weeks. This episode actually won't come out until March 5th, 2024. So those meetings will have already happened to anyone's listening to this as it comes out live. A couple notes here, and I'll just kind of point to some different resources. We talked quite a bit in the episode last time and then dustsavescience.com/198. Yeah, episode 198 on the structure of NFPA 660, on the first 9 chapters being fundamental, and then chapter 11 through to chapter 15 covering industry and specific requirements for industry material, specific requirements for agricultural metals, sulfur, wood, and other particulate matter. We're not going to rehash that in this episode. We did cover that extensively in the with several hours of documentation in the NFPA 660 training model. Module at dustsafetyacademy.com. If you do want to get access to that, you shoot me an email and I'll try to figure out a way to get people that information across. If you want to see the document, the way to do that today is test it. Go to fpa.org/660, scroll down to next edition, and then scroll down to first draft, I think it's called. If you click on that, it'll ask you for a username and a password, which you have to create. But once you create that, then that'll take you into TerraView, and that gives you the viewer for the current draft of NFPA 660, and you can kind of go through it there. I don't know if that's the official way for people to log into C660. That's the way I've been doing it. And it does have the public comments and lots of stuff in there. If you want to kill 2 days of trying to figure out what's in there, you could probably go take a look. But if you want a higher level view of where the thing's at today, you can take a look that way. So there's some kind of background things and notes on timing. Anything to add to those notes, Laura? Anything you missed or that you want to clarify for the audience?
Just a couple. The nfpa.org/660 next is a quick way to get to that page that you're looking at, NEXT. And anyone can log in and create a profile on nfpa.org. You don't need to be an NFPA member. So it's free to create a profile and to look at those items in Terra.
Yep. Great point there as well. Awesome. So we had 500 plus inputs from the public in the first round. We got 300, plus inputs in the public comment stage on the changes made from that first draft. And that process just ended over the last couple of weeks. And now the committee members are going to meetings to cover those. Where do things go from here in terms of the development of 660?
So as I mentioned, a lot of the committee members have been working in task groups. So some of them are still continuing right up until we have the meetings, the second draft meetings. And just a note about the task groups, that's really useful when public input came in and it was going to take longer than the committee had to think about something, to create to come up to an agreement on something. So that's mainly the purpose of these task groups, is to go off, work independently, and come back and report to the full committees. And so they've been working on that. That's still ongoing. And then the upcoming meetings will be held in February for Fundamentals Committee, and then in March for the other industry and commodity specific committees. So as you said, they'll be underway when this podcast episode comes out. But at each of those, the committees will meet for 1 or 2 days, depending on which committee it is, and they'll review all their task group work, all the public comments that came in, and again, either make edits to the standard or provide technical answers back to the submitters. So those are the next steps immediately coming up.
Perfect. So what's the timeline then for, is it called a third draft, or what's the result of those meetings and the changes that go in there? And then what happens after that in terms of 660 getting rolled out and any more input phases?
So it does feel like we're sort of in the end stages of this document, which is exciting.
You guys are doing great, by the way. Keep up the 800 comments is not a small amount to get through, plus right. Thousands. I don't know if anybody's calculated, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people hours to get to the public comments.
From all these committee members.
Thank you.
Yeah. So after they do these will be the second draft meetings in February and March. The committees will be balloted on any changes they make. And then the correlating committee will meet one more time to do that overarching review in probably August of this year. Make sure all the chapters are consistent, make any last updates to correlate everything. And then the second draft will be posted by October 3rd of this year. And once that is posted, the public has one more chance to provide input. These are called NITMAMs, Notice of Intent to Make a Motion. And some people see these as sort of a first stage appeal, because not everyone can submit a NITMAM. There are certain criteria that have to be met. examples could be if you were submitting a public input and then a public comment and the committee still didn't accept your change, you could file a NITMAM as one more shot. The committee, say they made a change at the first draft stage and you made a public comment to change it back, but they didn't, you could file a NITMAM to revert a change. And then all the NITMAMs are reviewed by the Standards Council. And if they are valid motions, that's when they would get certified. They become certified amending motions. And the submitter would come to the NFPA technical meeting at our conference and make their motion on the floor. So that's what notice of intent to make a motion means, that you're coming to our conference to make a motion on the floor. And what happens there is there will be lots of NFPA members all gathered together in a ballroom type room at a conference. And it's our technical meeting. They'll gather together and vote on motions across usually a broad range of topics. It won't just be the combustible dust standard. Whatever documents are up for issuance that year will be potentially have NITMAMs on them. So the person who's making the motion will get up, make their motion. People can get up to the microphone and speak in favor or against the motion. It could be people with, you know, it could be committee members. It could be people with interest in combustible dust safety speaking for or against the motion. And then the entire NFPA membership that's there gets to vote. So it's not just members of the technical committee this time. It's anybody who comes and attends that meeting. And then depending on if those pass or fail on the floor, there might be some additional committee balloting that goes on after that. But that all depends on whether we do receive any NITMAMs. So we'll know by after the second draft report is posted in October. That's when NITMAMs open. So we'll know by December of 2024 whether there are any NITMAMs or not that will be heard at the June 2025 conference and expo. And if there are no NITMAMs received, then the document could potentially be issued this year in December of 2024. And if there are NITMAMs received, then it would be issued after that technical meeting. So probably like next August or September of 2025. So those are sort of the two options that we have, but they're both coming up pretty quickly.
They sure are. Exciting. I remember talking about this a couple of years ago, and it's awesome to see it, you know, get to this stage. You said the NFPA conference is in June 2025. What's the location for that? Just so people have an idea, maybe mark it in their calendar.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but I can find that out and give it to you.
Sure. We'll include in the show notes for this episode at dustsafescience.com/257. And so if I'm understanding correctly, then the committee members after these meetings will put together the next draft of the document. That will go to the correlating committee to provide any feedback on any inconsistencies or anything from a correlative perspective. I'm not sure correlative is a word, a correlation perspective that needs to be addressed. And that would go into this draft being released in October of this year. And then that's open for NITMAMs. And so that is people can put in a notice of intent to make a motion at the NFPA conference or at the technical meeting at the NFPA conference in June 2025. And there are specific required criteria there for putting in a NITMAM. So I'll give a couple examples. We talked extensively last time about what makes a good public input. Needed to be specific, need to be substantiated, so had background and reason, not just like, I feel that dust collectors don't need explosion protection. That's an example of not such a great public input. But yeah, need to be specific, substantiated, and then we go to the committee members, and that could be bounced back. If it wasn't, you know, not enough details provided, if it, you only put in half the comment, committee members may have just sent that back, and then it could be picked back up in the comment phase, or they may have had enough information to be addressed. And if it had enough information to be addressed, they would take a look at it, analyze with the experts that are part of the committee, and make a decision. If you wanted to appeal that decision, you could do that in the public comment stage on the new draft, and that's what's just ended now. And now if you wanted to come back and, I guess we'll say, appeal it again, that would be the NITMAM process. But you've had to be, there's a couple other different requirements from NITMAMs from my understanding, but you had to be actually tracking in and providing that input throughout the whole process. Is it fair to say you can't bring up anything new in June 2025 or even
yes,
in
correct.
The NITMAM? And there's a real logical reason for this. When you sit down, it makes your eyes cross if you try to figure it out, trust me. But you can't bring something new because anything that you say was the best idea ever, it can't go in because then we'd need a whole nother review process of the new stuff that goes in. So it's an infinite loop. So you can only...
Yeah, we want to make sure that the public has had a chance to view any changes that the committee makes. So we can't the committee can't make changes at the last minute because the public wouldn't have had a chance to comment on it and review.
Exactly. So I kind of want to put that background about what kind of input got submitted and that sort of thing. And then also, yeah, it can't be anything net new at this stage. That had to be done in public input, public commenting stage.
That's right. And there are, you know, as I mentioned, there are various requirements for NITMAMs and what can be submitted, what can't, and who can submit them. So if anyone has any questions on that, you can feel free to contact me. I'm sure Chris will share my contact information and I'll walk you through that because there's a lengthy table in our regulations that explains it. But unless you're in that table all the time, it can be confusing. So I can help you through that if you're thinking about submitting a NITMAM and want to make sure that it's a certifiable one.
That makes a lot of sense. Any common themes or anything that's come out of development? I mean, you mentioned a couple of them that the focus groups have been tackling on, like definitions, pulling in stuff from multiple documents. I remember at one point there were multiple definitions of things like dust collectors and trying to get those cleaned up, additive manufacturing, non-traditional dust, hybrid mixtures, fibrous dust, nano particulate. Like cleaning up all those definitions was sort of one area that kind of came out of it. Any other common themes that you've seen from the public input or public comments for folks that are worth bringing up at this point in time?
I would say the biggest thing is just making the document easier for the users to follow. So a lot of the comments are about inconsistencies between the chapters or, you know, consolidating things into the fundamentals requirements so that the industry or commodity specific chapters can really just focus on what is particular about their dust. What's special about that and why do they need certain protections that other dust might not need?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it goes back to the original mission statement, right? Create a set of standards or a standard that doesn't have contradictory information in it, which is much easier to do in one document than in seven documents or whatever the standard set was before. But two, when you first take those seven documents and put them together, it's going to be kind of complicated because all those, we talked about this last time, all those inconsistencies stick are like sore thumbs kind of. And that's really been, I think, the public input comments to try to round some of those off, to try to clean them up. And then also the work of the committee members. And I don't, from my understanding, not everything will be, I'll say perfectly consistent. That's not the right word. What I mean is if there's a true difference between something in grain and something in metal, then that's good. That's the whole purpose of how the documents are set up. That'll be pushed out to the industry and commodity specific standard set. And everything that can get pulled into the fundamentals and what's common will get pulled into what's common. And I think that 1660, the first release, is going to be really good. But 10 years from now, after we get a couple of revision cycles in and you keep working on it as well, I think we're in a way better place than we started, you know, five or so years ago with all the multiple documents. Like 660 will be a platform to allow us to develop the standard set moving forward in a much more efficient, effective way. Does that resonate with you at all with, you know, the work you guys have been doing?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, the first edition won't be perfect and that all of our standards are revised every 3 to 5 years just for that reason. There's new things that come up. There's new evidence that might come out as to why a certain dust needs to be handled differently than another industry. And all of that will, you know, it'll be a living document that will continue to be improved over the next several editions.
Yeah, I totally agree. We covered a really good background about the timeline involved, what's coming up, what folks can expect. I would say that if you do have any questions, definitely you can email myself or more recommended email Laura. She knows a lot more details than I'm going to know, so I'll probably be going to her. We'll have her contact details in the show notes for this episode. If folks want to get involved with the process, we'll break this into two questions. If people want to get involved with the process of 660 specifically, what should they do? And then more broadly, if they want to get involved with just the process of NFPA standard development making, what should they do to get more information on how to do that as well?
Yeah, for 660, I would encourage people to come to the upcoming meetings. Some of them will have already occurred when this comes out. But
yeah,
even if you want to attend remotely, and this goes for all future meetings as well, guests are always welcome at our meetings. Just go to the whatever doc info page you're looking for. So for NFPA 660, it would be nfpa.org/660next. That contains all the meeting information. Has an email address to RSVP, and you can get the link to attend remotely. Guests are always welcome to listen in, and if you do want to contribute to the conversation or present. You can request that from the chair. And then after the meetings, just, you know, stay tuned to that same page and see the actions the technical committees took so that you're aware of what might be coming out in the first edition. And if you have been providing inputs and comments along the way and find the need to submit a NITMAM, then that's another way to stay involved. You can plan on attending the technical meeting in June of 2025 if we do receive NITMAMs. And, you know, as I mentioned, there's the people that attend that meeting, there are probably going to be a majority that are not in the combustible dust industry. So if 660 is up for vote and you want to come and provide your feedback and speak in the microphone, you're welcome to do that and encouraged to do that. And as I mentioned, you would know that by December of 2024, so you'd have time to plan your schedule and plan your travel and all that, whether there's any NITMAMs or not. So I think that's how you can stay involved in 660 until this first edition comes out. And then in general, for NFPA standards, every document has one of those document information pages, nfpa.org/the number. You can sign up for email alerts so that anytime a document opens for public input or comment or has a meeting scheduled and a meeting notice is posted or agenda is posted, you would get an email notifying you. So you can do that for any topics that you're interested in for NFPA standards and participate in some of the same ways. Go to the meetings, submit comments or input. Can submit questions there, technical questions from our staff. So I'd say those are the main ways to stay involved and get information about our process.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I would say it does make sense also just check out the NFPA conference in general as a useful, you know, event in our space. There generally is some technical presentations and certainly people involved that would be attending the meeting that are technical and combustible dust, as well as other industries that NFPA standards cover. And the notifications, the email notifications, if you're interested in stuff, definitely sign up for those. I think, you just go to the page and there's see a button that says notify me about document updates. I believe you're logged in, you click that, and I know it's added to your email list. I get emails every time any of the standards are changed. It's helpful stuff too. If you go in, it has, it's in the emails, but, you know, meeting notes, what the actions are coming out of it. That's just the way to stay in the know and to what's happening there. And then, as Laura mentioned, you can reach out to the committee chairs if you want to get more involved and understand more of the process there. So we'll leave it at that. Go ahead. Well, I was going to ask anything else you want to leave off with for today, Laura. So I'll ask that. And then what else do you have for today?
Sure. One more thing I was just thinking about, if anyone wanted to participate as a committee member, you're welcome to apply to do that as well. We have openings on most of our committees. Some of them have caps for certain interest categories because each committee can only be made up of 1/3 of any one interest category. So on some of them we're full for like manufacturers or consultants or special experts. But if you are an enforcer or an insurance company or a user, or if you're in a labor union, any of those have space on most of the technical committees. So that's another way you can get involved if you're interested.
Yeah, I'd encourage people too, if they have questions about that, then that's another thing, just to email Laura and just ask and see what might be involved. And I'd encourage you, if you are interested, to, even if you are in one of those other categories, but whichever side is, to apply. And you'll never, if you're in one of the categories that fold, then you'll never get in if you don't apply, because you gotta apply first. And then two, certainly having more voices from those other interest categories that aren't full. And you mentioned, you know, some of them, labor and insurance and government. And other groups, the more viewpoints we have, the more value those viewpoints bring in developing the documents. So we'll leave it off at that. Laura, thank you again for giving this update. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but it's my podcast, I'll say it anyway. It'd be awesome to have you on in December and say, hey, there's no NITMAMs and this thing might roll out. But if we don't, the NITMAMs are also a great part of the process and important. So we'll have you on the podcast in December and say, hey, we're doing the final updates in June of 2025 and move forward from there.
Sounds good.
Thank you again for coming on, and I look forward to having you back on in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. So you've been listening to myself, Dr. Chris Cloney, and Laura Moreno, Standards Lead Industrial and Chemical Engineering at National Fire Protection Agency, NFPA. She's based out of Quincy, Massachusetts. And this has been an update on NFPA 660 development and the rollout process to date. So we talked through a lot of the material we covered in previous podcast episodes on this, but what the development standard development process looks like, who's involved, the amount of effort that actually goes in. We talked about the purpose of NFPA 660 to bring all of the documents together under one common roof, we'll call it, into one document, with the sort of mission statement, a goal to reduce any inconsistencies that are there between industries or between the existing document set. You can access NFPA 660 at nfpa.org/660. And you can also go to nfpa.org/660 next. That will bring you some more of the information pages on this stuff as well. We talked through the development process from here. So the committees are going to meetings on the public comment now and developing a new draft of the report, or new draft of the standard rather. Then that's going to go to the correlating committee to work out anything from a correlating perspective. And the next draft will be posted publicly in October of 2024 and open to public input in the terms of MIPAMS, notice of intent to make a motion, or any appeals that are in the document from there. I think Laura mentioned that by December of this year, we'll know whether or not any MIPAMS are going to come in. And that's possible the document could be released later this year. If not, they'll release in 2025 after going through the MIPAM process at the NFPA Technical Conference. Technical meetings as part of the NFPA conference in June of 2025. So hopefully this has been value to keep you up to date about this process. If you have any questions about 660, what it means for you, what the process looks like, then hopefully these podcast episodes are helpful to answer those questions. As always, I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. I appreciate the work that you do. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Laura. We'll have her contact details in the show notes for this episode. And you can also reach out to myself as well. Thanks so much and have a great week ahead.